First Corinthians chapter 12. And remember in this letter of Corinthians that the church at Corinth, they've been asking questions of Paul, and the Lord is going to answer the questions they've had. So we take from this that they probably asked a question about spiritual gifts. And from what Paul answers in the next few chapters, we see that they must have had a pretty bad balance of gifts in their church. Not meaning that they didn't have gifts, they had them, but they were way out of balance in how they were using them and how they were looking at them. So in the next few chapters, Paul's going to do some correction on that issue. And it starts out in chapter 12, verse 1, and says, "Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." And the first thing we want to just make sure we're on the same page on, when he says the spiritual gifts here, what is he talking about when he uses that phrase, spiritual gifts? These are gifts given by the Holy Spirit to the believers to be used as we serve the Lord. Kind of a general idea of what we're talking about with a spiritual gift. It's something that God has given to each of us, and we're going to see that in the passage further. Anybody who has come to Christ and has received Him, the Holy Spirit has come inside of us, and He has gifted us to do something to serve Him. And our gifts are going to be different, we'll see, as we get into our study and get a little glimpse of what the gifts are today. But if you're in Christ today, God has given you a spiritual gift to do something to serve Him and to serve the body of Christ. And we'll look at that closer. Okay? Now it says here in verse 1, "About spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." And you know, there's a lot of ignorance in the church today still when it comes to spiritual gifts. Some churches choose to totally ignore the gifts and don't want to talk about them. So they're ignorant on the side of not wanting to study much about them because they don't know what they are, don't want to have anything that would be too wild for them or something on the edge. So they're on the extreme of not wanting to know, and they completely ignore some of the gifts, okay? Then there's the other extreme who takes a few of the gifts and runs wild with them, okay? So we're going to see the balance from Scripture, and I think what we see in the church in Corinth is some of what we see in the church today too. There's an out of balance use of the gifts, okay? So Paul's going to try to grab all these things that are running around and bring them together and say, now this is what it's supposed to be like in God's eyes, okay? So he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant," and the Lord doesn't want us to be ignorant of these things either. So in verse 2, he says, "You know that when you were pagans," talking about before they came to know Christ, and they were in this culture where they were worshiping the idols and anything else going on, says, "You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols." And your translation might say dumb idols. The picture there is that you serve this idol, which was a piece of wood, a piece of stone, whatever, but it couldn't talk. So he kind of says this, I think, a little tongue-in-cheek. He said, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by these things that can't talk, you know? And it's kind of the silly view of trying to worship a piece of wood or a block of stone or something like that. So he said, they were kind of leading your life before. And where he's going with this is now you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit talks. Okay, so he's saying it makes a lot more sense to want to follow God who talks than some false idol, piece of wood or something that doesn't. Okay, so he goes on in verse 3, "Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." So he's given us some general rules here for discernment. Okay, and one of the basic things you have to know with this, he says, it's about Jesus, okay? When it comes to spiritual gifts, the first thing we have to know is the spiritual gifts point to Jesus. And if they don't, then there's a problem, okay? So he gives us that as the first general rule for spiritual gifts. Are they pointing to Jesus or to some other direction? Okay, so he says here, nobody's going to say Jesus is cursed if they're speaking by the Spirit of God. And no one's going to say Jesus is Lord unless it's the Holy Spirit working through them. And let's think about this. Let's chew on this a second. When it says nobody's going to say Jesus be cursed, the idea is bringing Jesus down from who he is. Okay, Jesus is Lord, which is where he's going. Okay, so Jesus is Lord. Anybody who brings him lower than that, he said, you better be very, very careful in what they have to say. Now, there's a caution for us today, too, because there are people who are in church and have their programs on TV, and they talk about Jesus, but you better be very careful listening how they refer to him. Because I've heard some of those guys say, yeah, Jesus, he's just my good old buddy, you know, he's just my old buddy, and we do this, you know. And when you listen to the way they talk, it's almost like they have brought Jesus down a little bit lower. It's kind of like, I do what I want, and Jesus is cool with that, you know, because he's my buddy, you know, kind of thing. And they've lowered Jesus. Jesus is our friend, right? The scriptures tell us, I call you my friend, but he is still the Lord. Okay? We can't get away from that. He doesn't stop being Lord to say, I'm just going to be your good old buddy. You can do whatever you want to do. No, Jesus is still the Lord. So you can't take him down. And that's what he says. If somebody says, Jesus be cursed, and they may not make it that blunt, but if they bring Jesus to a lower level, you better watch, because their theology is messed up somewhere at best. They don't know what they're talking about. Then he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit working there. And when they say Jesus is Lord, and they treat him as Lord, they have lifted him to the place where he really belongs. Okay? So when you hear them talk about Jesus, and there's a reverence there, there's a love there, you know, there's that kind of atmosphere, then you're safer to listen to what they have to say. Now, I put a caution on that too, because I know there are some groups out there who will put a banner up that says Jesus is Lord, you know, but you better listen to what they're saying, because just that banner there doesn't mean they treat Jesus that way. So we got to be careful. In the church back here, they had to be careful. And today, in our time period, we still have to be careful, because there's a lot of junk out there that's not right. All right? And that's why we study the scripture, to make sure we stay accurate with what God tells us. So the first rule is, the general rule for discernment, is Jesus getting all the glory. And I mean all the glory, okay? There's a temptation when you have a lot of people following that you might want to take some glory from that. But you better be careful, because the Lord shows us here it's Jesus who needs to get all the glory, especially when it comes to spiritual gifts, okay? Let's go on to verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And we're going to look at some of the different kinds here in the passage. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And when it talks about service, I get the idea of, it's a reminder to us, for one, you might have the word ministries there, but it's the idea of these gifts are given for us to serve. They're not given for us to flaunt ourselves or to say we're better because we have a gift, but it's given to us that we might serve the body of Christ, we might serve other people. That's what we're supposed to use them for. Now, I think of it this way when I think about this, because it helps me keep in perspective where we are in Christ, okay? If you think about somebody who has maybe a big mansion like a castle, and they have a lot of servants that work for them at this castle. Some of the servants, you know, they might be doing the cooking. Some might be doing the cleaning. You might have some who are like butlers, you know, and take care of the guests who come in and different things. And that's kind of the picture of us with spiritual gifts. We are just the servants. We have different jobs to do for our master, but the gifts are given to us that we might serve. So try to keep that mindset as we look at the gifts, because there is a danger. The danger was back here, and it's still here today, that some gifts that we might have, we might flaunt and think we're more spiritual because we have these gifts, okay? And the Lord says, you can't do that. You're still my servant, and I only gave it to you to serve, you know? Doesn't mean the butler's better than the cook, you know, or the house cleaner is better than the butler. It doesn't have anything to do with situations like that. They're all considered servants in the eyes of the master. Okay, everybody with me on this? Because there can be a problem if we forget what we're doing with the gifts, where to serve. It says in verse 6, there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. And that term working, you might have a different term there, but it's talking about power. So it's saying there's a different kind of power in these gifts, but it's the same God who's doing the work, is the idea. So we don't think that we've got this power kind of thing, you know? So the Lord shows us some things here, and he's laying this out very carefully. So we're going to be careful as we go through this too, so we don't get off track or out of balance here. He notices, he says, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. Okay, that word same is there. There are different kinds of working, but it's the same God. He said that there were different kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. So he kind of alludes to the Godhead here, but he's letting us know that it's the same God. We're on the same team, Okay? So, where we know this, that we have spiritual gifts, yours might be different than mine, and how God's using me and how He wants to use you, but we're on the same team. So there's no competition, okay? It's not like, well, I got mine from the Holy Spirit, you know, so I can do this or something, and you've got yours from, you know, Jesus maybe, and we're going to argue over stuff like that. No, we have the same source for these gifts, so we're on the same page, and there should be unity because of the gifts. And that's one of the things that's on the heart of the Lord. We need to have unity and not division, okay, when it comes to spiritual gifts. Now, I see this as very interesting because if you're up to speed on what's going on in a lot of churches today, we don't have unity over the gifts. We have division over the gifts. The Lord never intended that. The Lord is not pleased over that. So we're going to deal with that as we get further into chapter 14, because apparently the same gift they had a problem with back then is one of the same gifts we have problems with today. Okay, so we'll deal with that a little bit further when we get there. But I want you to keep in mind, too, the Lord is really focusing on unity. That's why He keeps saying it's the same Holy Spirit, it's the same Lord, it's the same God. So we have no reason to have division over this. We're all to be on the same page. Okay? I just want to mention something, too, when it talks about that power that's at work through the gifts. When we have a spiritual gift that God has put in us and He's working through us as we submit to Him and we serve Him, the things that happen from that gift, that's the power of God at work, okay? It's nothing we can take credit for. You know, folks have told me, they said that I've been gifted in teaching, and I hope for your sake I have been, you know, so the Lord can use that to help you. But if that's the case, when I teach, it's nothing that I'm doing, really. It's the Lord working through me if you get anything from it. It's not me, okay? My responsibility is to do my study and to open my mouth, okay, and let the Lord use that. But when things happen, when you say, wow, I really understand this now, I didn't get it before, that was the Holy Spirit doing that. That was His power working through His gift, and that's how you got it, okay? And that's the way gifts are intended. See, so whenever God has placed the gift in us, remember it's His gift, He's doing the work, He gets the glory. And things happen, not because of who we are, but it's because of what God's doing through us. And that's the reminder, okay? Now, I say that as a caution for myself, too. See, because there are times where people might come up and say, I might get 10 people sometime who would say something like that. I haven't had 10 people yet, by the way, line up and tell me that. But just in case there weren't that day come where somebody said, man, that helped today a bunch, you know, I don't get a big head. And the reminder to me is that was God who did something. You got out of the way enough today where people actually got it, you know, kind of a thing. So remember that when it comes to the gifts. And you notice I'm trying to be careful with this because people go wild on this, and I've got an idea, I think, of why we have problems when it comes to gifts, and I'll probably deal with it a little bit more when we get to chapter 14. But let me just kind of say as a caution here up front, I think why we have division over this is really because of the enemy. I think the devil knows there's power when there's unity in the body of Christ. So he wants to keep us divided. He wants to keep us at odds with each other. And if he can use something like a spiritual gift, that's almost like a badge for him. Like, man, I use God's stuff to get people mad at each other, you know. And to him, he's got a feather in his hat over that one. So we'll deal with that a little more as we get into chapter 14. But I think the enemy is behind us, and that's why I want us to be careful. If we submit to the Lord, stick with what God tells us, we have no problem. Okay? Kind of like the song we sang this morning. We do things God's way, no problems. We just follow Him, and He takes care of the balance. Okay? All right, let's look at verse 7 then. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It says to each one. That means today, if you are in Christ, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you received His sacrifice on the cross for you, that the Holy Spirit has given you a gift. If you're in Christ, you have at least one gift that the Holy Spirit has given you. And He calls it here the manifestation of the Spirit. Get this. This, I think, is really cool. When we use the gift God has given us and something happens, it's the power of God working through us, that's evidence that the Holy Spirit was there and He was working. And I think that's awesome. Okay? So if the Lord's working through me teaching, and you get something, and it even comes back to me, it doesn't have to come back to me, but if you would say something to me and say, wow, the Lord really spoke to me today, that's awesome to me, because that means the Holy Spirit did that. The Holy Spirit was here, and He's working. And He is here. I mean, you don't may not see a glow or anything, but the Holy Spirit is working today. You know, He's working in me, and He's working in you. But to me, it's so awesome that that is really a manifestation of the Holy Spirit when the gifts are working properly. Okay? And what's the reason for them? It says at the end of verse 7. It's for the common good. Now, there's two things I think implied by this. One is, it's for unity. It's for everybody. Okay? When the gifts are working, they're ministering to other people. It's not for you selfishly. And that's the other side of that. That we wouldn't be selfish with our gift or use it to flaunt ourselves. So he says the gifts are given. It's a manifestation of the Spirit and for the common good. It's good for everybody. Okay? Let's go on to verse 8. To one there is given, through the Spirit, the message of wisdom. Now, he's going to list some of the gifts here. There's other gifts mentioned in different places, and some people believe that there are probably more gifts than we have even listed in the Bible for us, and I think that's a real possibility. I think there are times God works through us in ways that you may not even find them listed in the New Testament here, but it's just a gifting that God works through us to minister to other people. Now, we have to surrender to the Lord and allow Him to work through us for these things to happen. But we're going to look at some of these in detail, because we have a picture of some of these for us in the Scripture to see what they're like. So what is the gift of wisdom, or the word of wisdom you might have in your translation, or the message of wisdom I've got in my translation here? Wisdom means knowledge applied. Okay, and that's the Hebrew understanding of the word wisdom. So it's not just having something in your head, but it's actually able to do something with it. Now, this wisdom is talking about a supernatural ability God has given you to know something and actually use it for a purpose. And we'll see how this is used a little bit. In Acts chapter 6, if you want to turn over there, we see a picture of how this word of wisdom is used. You remember in the story here, in Acts chapter 6, there was a situation going on, and it's described to us in verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So they got a problem, they got a situation. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together, and they said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over them and will give our attention to prayer in the ministry of the Word." Then it goes on to say, "This proposal pleased the whole group." Now, what happened there? They had a problem. They had a situation arising that could have caused some real division in the church. And what happened? They got a word of wisdom from the Lord where they're able to say, well, here's the solution. And it was a perfect solution, you notice. I mean, even the people had the proposal pleased the whole group. So what happened? This word of wisdom came from God, and it was, here's the problem, here's the solution to the problem. And I imagine they had people that probably said, yeah, why didn't I think of that, you know, kind of a thing. And I think that happens a lot when you have a word of wisdom from the Lord. When you hear it, it's like, well, yeah, that makes sense. Why didn't I think of that? You know, it's like, well, that's the perfect solution. Well, I can tell you, I know we have some folks around us in our group right here that I believe have this gift of the word of wisdom from the Lord. And I know if I should mention names or not, put a finger on them, but I can tell you I know some people who have this, I believe, because when there's a situation or problem or something, I can run something past them, and it's like, boom, they have an answer. And I thought, why didn't I think of that? You know, I mean, it's so points right on the, puts the finger right on it, you know? Excuse me. So if you're around people like that where you've put things past them and, boy, they just come up with an answer, you know, just boom, right there, they probably have that word of wisdom from the Lord. And I would say listen to people like that. Don't be ashamed to think, well, I'm not going to ask them because I should know, you know, because it's humbling, I know, but I have to do this too. And I won't point out somebody in particular I know who has this, I believe. I think my wife Lisa has this. because there are times where there's a situation we're trying to think through or something, or I personally am trying to figure this out, you know, and I've tried to cover everything I can think of, and I'll run it past her, and boy, she'll pop something out, and I'm thinking, ah, why didn't I think of that, you know? But it's happened enough times that let me tell you, when you're around people like this, it makes you feel kind of ignorant, okay? Because they keep coming up with these good, solid answers. It's like, how did I not see that, you know? But I really believe it's because the Lord has given them that gift. And thankfully, you know, as a husband and wife, we're a team, so I can take that. Yeah, she's on my team kind of thing, you know? But, I'm thankful to have someone on my side like that. But it's humbling, but there, you know, I do run things past her for that reason. And that's why I think I mentioned last week, I heard this one pastor who said, you don't listen to your wife. You don't take things or you just do what you think God's leading you to do. And there are times, I mean, we're a team. We're on the same team, right? So I'd be a fool not to listen to the other team members, all right? So I appreciate what the Lord has done there. And maybe you know somebody like that. If there's somebody that comes to mind that is like that, where you just run things past them and they have the answer, and it's like the perfect answer is like, wow, you know, that's probably the wisdom of the Lord doing that. We had a guy one time on a church board where I was at, and I was amazed to watch this process because the guy was pretty quiet. But, you know, on this board, we had quite a few guys, and we were wrestling with issues all the time. And usually what would happen, the normal thing was, everybody put their 2 cents worth in, and they try to figure out which way to go. And at the very end, you know, after the discussion, then this guy would say something. And it was the perfect answer. I mean, it was the solution. And it's like when he spoke, it's like, wow, why didn't we think of that sooner, kind of a thing. And I got to the point of thinking, why don't he just give his answer first? You know, why should we waste our time running around? We'll just listen to what he has to tell us here if he's got a word, you know, because it was right on the money. So I'd encourage you, if you have people like this, like I said, it might make you feel a little dumb because they always seem to have the answer for the situation. But humble yourself and ask them because, man, the Lord's given us these gifts to use, okay? They're to serve the body of Christ, okay? All right, so let's go on. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he lists another gift for us. He says in verse 8, to one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge. Now this one, or the word of knowledge you may have in your translation, this one is God revealing unknown information to us, okay, supernaturally. Now we got a picture of this one too, if you want to look back to Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, we've got another situation going on in the church. And in verse 1, it says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but he brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, picture this in your mind. This is the story. The guy sold the property, and here's the amount he got for it. Him and his wife decided to keep some money back. But they were going to go to the church and make it look like we're giving the whole thing to the Lord. You know, kind of a pat on the back here and get a little promotion deal or something. I guess they were hoping for it. But look at verse 3. Now, they had just laid the money at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. And then when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. And it goes on and talks about great fear seizing everybody. You saw what happened. His wife comes in. Peter asked the same question. Did you sell it for this price? And she said, yes. And then he said, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door. They will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. And then it goes on to talk about great fear seized the whole church and everybody who heard about these events. Now, here again is a situation where I think the Lord revealed this to Peter, because from the story, all we see is the guy comes in, he lays the money to the church, and Peter hits him right away with, how could you do such a wicked thing? And he describes the whole thing to him. So here, I think, is a place where God revealed some knowledge to Peter that he was able to deal with a sin issue in the church going on just like that. Okay? Now, I know this is kind of a scary picture because we see the way it happened, there were a couple of deaths involved over this one, but it was a supernatural knowledge that Peter apparently got straight from the Lord. Now, this is interesting to me because I've heard about this gift working when somebody was counseling someone. There was a pastor who said he was counseling some people, and all of a sudden he had a thought pop into his head, and he kind of ran it across the people, and sure enough, that was the issue going on in their life. And where did he get that from? It was nothing from what they said or anything. It was just because they were kind of beating around the bush. And all of a sudden, when he had that thought, he checked it out to see, is this from the Lord? And sure enough, it was exactly what was going on in that situation. So the Lord can use this gift at different times as needed to serve people, to minister to them. Now, in that situation where that pastor was counseling, that gift could have been used to help that person repent. Okay? I don't know. I don't remember the end of the story. I don't know if they did. But the Lord certainly gave them opportunity to repent at that point. There was another time I've seen this happen myself in teaching sometimes. As you're presenting the Word of God, the Lord might be using things you're saying that really point to something going on in someone's life, and you may not be aware of it. This has happened a number of times, and I've talked to different pastors who said this. They said, you know, we had somebody come visit today, and sure enough, when they came, one of the illustrations that was used from the pulpit was just talking about that person, you know, and it wasn't really talking about them, but God knew who they were, and he was really pointing the finger at them that day. And that has happened. One pastor, a friend of mine, he said, you know, we had a couple come visit, and he said we had a lot of folks in church that day. It was really packed. So I didn't know there were visitors, you know, that came in the back there. And when he used an illustration, it described their marriage situation to the T, you know. And afterwards, this guy from his church came up and said, I had some visitors come today, and they're mad at me because they think I set them up. You know, they think I told you about their situation, so when it happened, that you were just going to really beat them up when they got here, you know? And the pastor had no clue, see? Now, what was that? That was this word of knowledge. And again, God was giving those people a chance to repent, you know, to admit the sin in their life, to confess, to get free from that, and then to walk clean before the Lord. So that can happen even while you're teaching. And I think I told you a situation I had before where a lady had called for a ride to church, and I didn't know her, but they asked me if I would give her a ride, and I called her back. And as I was talking to her, the thought of abortion popped in my mind. Well, at the time, I didn't understand spiritual gifts at all. That might be one reason the Lord doesn't want us to be ignorant of these. So when that happened, I didn't say anything to her because I was rather embarrassed that the thought popped in my head like that. And sure enough, a week later, I found out that she was talking to Lisa in the nursery and said she had had abortion that week. So I felt bad. I thought, man, the Lord was trying to reach her through me, and I didn't understand the gifts enough to even step out and do that. So I just caution you on this one too. The word of knowledge is a very interesting gift, but it can be very powerful if it's used properly. But, you know, we got to be careful to make sure that the thought we have is from the Lord. So I caution you this because there are folks who go around churches and saying, you sinner, I know what you've done and all this, you know, and it may not have anything to do with the Lord or that person. It might have been the pizza they ate before they went to bed or something, you know. So you just want to make sure it's of the Lord. And there are ways to do that tactfully. You know, that lady on the phone, I could have said, you know, I just had a thought that came to me about abortion. I just want to ask you, does that have anything to do with something going on in your life or somebody you know? You know, and could have approached it tactfully like that just to get the conversation started. So when the Lord gives us this, it's a gift that he means to be used, that's intended for that. Whenever the Lord gives you something like that, I would say at least step out in faith and test the waters, you know, see if it's of the Lord or not. And you'll find out if you're tactful about that, okay? Okay, go on in the passage again. And at the end of verse 8 again, it says, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. And he keeps focusing on the Spirit doing these gifts, okay? So we know it's not anything with us. Verse 9, it says, to another, faith. Now, the gift of faith he's talking about is a special faith for a situation that you might have, a special ability to believe that God's going to do something, and you have almost zero doubt, okay, that God's going to do it. And that is a special gift of faith. In Acts chapter 3, we see a little picture of this. Turn back to Acts chapter 3. And we've got a situation here where there was a man that was going to be healed, okay? So we see an overlap of some of the gifts in this story and in other places too. The Lord might use some of these together because there's going to be a gift of healing that occurs here also. It says in verse 6, then Peter said, gold, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And then in verse 7 is where you see this faith, okay? It says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. Then it says he jumped to his feet, began to walk. So picture this, that Peter walks up to this guy, and he tells him to stand up and walk. Okay, now that's one thing to say that, but then he actually reached down and took the guy's hand to help him up. Well, Peter had faith at that point that he knew, when I take that guy's hand and pull him up, he's going to walk. That's going to happen, okay? So when you see something like this, where you've got extreme faith on something, and you know almost beyond any doubt that it's going to happen, that's a gift that God has given you to believe whatever that is, whatever that situation might be. There's another place I want you to see, and this might help us remember it a little better. Matthew 14. Take a look there, because this is a story I can say to you, and I know you know it right off the bat, but I want you to see something in here as well. Matthew chapter 14. And if you look down to verse 25... It says, during the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. So here's Jesus walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, he walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. Now, we understand Jesus walking on the water, okay? He created the whole place, so we're not too shook over the idea that Jesus could walk on the water. But now Peter is walking on water, too, which we know it can't happen. That's not a natural thing, okay? So what's going on here? Peter said, hey, you tell me. If you're really Jesus, you call me, and I'll come to you. So Peter gets out of the boat. I would have loved to see the look on his face, because I don't know if he really thought he was going to walk on the water and just be able to swim out to Jesus. I don't know. But when he got out of the boat, he started walking on the water too, and he started walking toward Jesus. Now, it took faith to get out of that boat, okay, to know that, okay, I'm coming, because he steps out on the water and he's now walking. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began beginning to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. And notice what he says. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Now get this picture, okay? Think about what Jesus said. When Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on the water, he was not doubting. He had no doubt. All of a sudden, when he saw things, then he started to doubt, then he started to sink, okay? Now, as far as I know, any kind of extreme faith like that is from the Lord. I don't think we can muster that stuff up, okay? I don't think Peter was waking up that morning saying, man, today's the day. I'm going to walk in that water today. I'm going to do it, you know? I'm going to believe God. I'm going to do it. I don't think that happened at all. I think Peter got up like a normal day, and when Jesus said, come, Peter instantly had the faith to believe he could come. And he stepped out. And he was doing it with no doubt until all of a sudden he did. And then Jesus kind of said, Peter, you got a little faith, you know. And the picture was, you need great faith to do my stuff. You need great faith. So this picture we see of the gift of faith, where God gives you a chance to believe him on something, and it can happen, you know, without any doubt almost in your mind. That's a gift from the Lord when that occurs. I had a situation I can think of one time when I know that happened with me. I had counseled a guy. I don't know whether he was a believer or not, but his daughter was. She was a new believer in the Lord, and she was going through a divorce. She had not been divorced yet, but she was wanting to date this other Christian guy. And they were basically already dating, although they weren't calling it that. We were just going out to have dinner sometimes and things like this, you know. Well, this couple had come to ask me, is it okay what we're doing? And I had to tell them, well, you know, you're a married woman. You're not divorced. You know, even though she was going through a divorce, she's a married woman. I said, so to be going out with this guy, I said, you know, that's not right. You cannot do that stuff, you know. So apparently her dad got wind of this, and he was going to straighten me out, you know. So he wanted to meet with me, so I said it was counseling, I guess you would call it. But anyway, I went to talk to him, and he was letting me know. He said, look, it's a done deal. The divorce is next week, and it's going to be fine. final. So what's the big deal? You know, in 1 week it'll be taken care of legally, so you don't have to worry about it. So just leave them go. They're a nice couple. They like each other. Let them go, kind of a thing, you know. And it really irritated me because the way he was talking about it was like, divorce isn't a big deal and God doesn't care, kind of an attitude, you know. It really hit me in my spiritual heart. It wasn't for me. I didn't, you know, what am I personally got to do with this thing? But it really bothered me spiritually that he did that. When I was leaving that night, I was praying. And I said, Lord, please don't let that go through. And when I prayed, I could tell you without any doubt, it was not going to happen. Next week, that divorce was not going to go through. I had no doubt that it was not going to take place. And guess what happened? That week came, and the divorce did not happen. And I said, thank you, Lord Jesus. I just praise you. And the point was to teach this guy that you just can't play with life like that. You know, God's in control. God's doing things. And how dare you just take the things of the Lord and look at them so lightly. Like I said, I'm not sure the guy was even saved. I don't know that I was talking to. If I had to put money on it, I would have to say I don't think so. But it really bothered me. And that's the only time I can think of offhand that I had that kind of extreme faith on something that I could have just guaranteed you that was going to be the case. Now, maybe in your life, maybe you've had that. Maybe when you pray, you have that happen often, where you pray and you just know it's done. I mean, I've heard people say that, you know, where somebody said, well, let's pray about this. And they did. They said, okay, it's done. God's taking care of that. I know. It's okay. Well, that's possible. They have that gift of faith working, you know, where they know when God's doing something. God just kind of, I don't know, he rings the bell or what and says, it's done, you know, and they know that. So if you have that gift too, let me know, because I'm going to use that for you a little bit more when we need to step out and trust things, trust the Lord on that. So anyway, that's another gift that's mentioned to us back in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's go back there again. We're going to look at a couple more of these, but some of them we're going to put off till later, okay? And go back to 1 Corinthians 12, and it mentions in verse 9, to another that gift of faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by that one Spirit. And these are miraculous healings. Okay, and by that I mean they happen instantaneously, or they happen when they shouldn't happen. May not be instantaneous, but somebody gets well when they weren't supposed to get well, according to everybody else, the doctors and all that. Okay, that's a miraculous healing. Now, Jesus did that all the time. We already looked at one of those where Peter helped that guy stand up and walk, and that was a miraculous healing. Okay, and for those of us, there might be somebody among us today who knows that, you know, I seem to pray for people when they're sick and they do get well. You know, you might have that working with you. And this is an interesting one if you look at the wording, because it doesn't say the gift of healing. It says gifts of healings. Okay? And the picture is, it's not that this guy is a healer. All right, but it's God has given them the ability by prayer and trusting the Lord to pray for folks, and the Lord gives that person the gift to be healed. Okay, it's kind of like I see it almost as a postal worker that's carrying these gifts and able to deliver them, you know, because they're not the healer. The Lord is the one who's the healer. They simply are able to pray for people, and the Lord seems to answer that prayer for healing for some reason. Okay? And again, if you have that gift, please let me know, because we could use that. We have folks that are sick from time to time, and I know they could really use prayer. Not to say that our prayers aren't effective, but if the Lord's blessed us with a gift like that, let's use those gifts, okay? And like I said, I don't like these guys who put up a sign that say, I'm a healer, you know, come see the great healer kind of thing, because they're getting in the way of what the Lord's doing. I think the Lord intentionally ordered this way that we don't do that kind of stuff, okay? So be very, very careful when somebody puts the banner up and says, we got this great healer coming tonight. Be careful, okay? Because like I said, the devil likes to play with these gifts and get attention away from Jesus. Jesus gets all the glory, not part of it or a little. He gets all of it, okay? All right, go on then. It says in verse 10, to another, miraculous powers. And this is, let's take a look at Acts chapter 12 just for a second here, because this is another picture we've got here we can see. Acts chapter 12, and down to verse 5. It says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side, he woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel was able to get him outside the prison. And that whole thing was a miraculous event that took place, okay? Now, you get to the end of the story, and Peter shows up at the house where the church was praying, the group of believers, and they were shocked that Peter was at the door, okay? Now, what I think is going on here is people were praying for him, and there was a miraculous power that took place where, you know, the angel showed up, the chains fell off, the door is open, he's walking past the guards, and nothing was stopping him, okay? That's pretty miraculous, all right? You might say, wait a minute, where's the person that did this? Okay, where's the person with the gift? Well, it doesn't make a difference, does it? Who cares who the person was? The body of Christ was praying and a miraculous thing occurred. And I think that's the point. It's not the person, okay? It's the power of God working. And that's what the Lord wants us to see. The body of Christ, we're to work together in the gifts. It doesn't make any difference who has what gift, as long as we're using the gifts to serve. So it's really not on the person. All right. Now, for all I know, and I'm speculating on this, just so you know, there's very possible there was somebody in that church praying that the Lord had blessed with this, and all of a sudden there's answered prayer, you know, and you say, that's cool. And I don't think it matters who gets the credit for that prayer, because it was God who did the work. Okay? And I might be off on that. Like I said, that's speculation. But I do think that the Lord still blessed us with people who have this kind of ability to pray and see things happen. Now, the Lord will answer your prayers and mine too. So we're not saying we have to get special people to pray. But if we have the gift, why not use the gift also? Okay? You can almost see, can't you, that if you have these gifts, there's a prayer thing that you have more power in, I think. God's giving you a little extra stuff to work with here. Pray, using that gift. You find out what your gift is, pray, and ask the Lord to use it. Because that's what He wants to do. That's why He gave it to you. We know somebody who's gifted in evangelism. And they have a heavy burden for people. You know, they're out there wanting to talk to people about the Lord. And a lot of times the Lord taps them on the shoulder and says, see that guy over there? Go talk to him, you know. And then they're using that gift that way. And I know their prayers are more effective when they start praying for people because they get such a burden. So when you figure out what your gift is or you have an inclination to know, I think this is where the God wants to use me. Man, pray and ask God to use the gift because He's given it to you to be used. Okay? So it goes on here in verse 10 to another prophecy. And prophecy is simply speaking God's word. Taking God's word and giving it to whomever God shows you to give it to. Most of the time, I think it's going to be the actual word of God you have in your hands. There are times, I think, when the Lord might lay something on your heart to share with somebody, but you've got to be real careful in that one, too. And we're going to talk about that more when we get to chapter 14, because the Lord really focuses in on the gift of prophecy more. So we'll get to that later, okay? To another, distinguishing between spirits. And this is ability to be able to see something that's of the Lord or something that's not. When people look at it, they don't see that in the situation. Okay? Now, we're warned about this in 1 John 4, if you want to take a look. This is an extremely important one for the body of Christ also. It's kind of a shame you don't hear a lot of people talk about this gift, but it's one that's really needed in the body of Christ. In 1 John, I hope I told you 1 John. I'll just read it to you if you want. 1 John chapter 4 says in verse 1, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Not a few, but many. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. So we're warned that we need this gift because there are many false prophets out there. Okay? So this discerning of spirits it talks about back in 1 Corinthians 12, this is a supernatural ability God has given at times that when someone sees something going on, they right away know that's not of the Lord. They might be using some Bible terms or words, but you have a sense that there's something wrong with that. Okay? And I think the Lord's given that to us. And by the way, the Lord might use these gifts in different ways with us. You might be given a situation where God might give you the gift to teach somebody something on the spot because that person needs it, okay? You might be given a gift of evangelism or outreach or something on the spot because the person in front of you needs that. So don't just say, well, this is my gift and I don't have that gift, so I'm not worried about that one, you know? The Lord might use any of these at any time for the person that needs it. And I just think of that with this gift here, we're talking about the distinguishing between spirits. Now, let me tell you, and this may sound really bad, so I hope you don't get too shook on this one. I don't have that gift of distinguishing between spirits, okay? And I wished I did. I mean, as a pastor, I would like to have that one, but I don't. And I think maybe it's a good thing I don't. Keeps me humble because I have to rely on other people, okay? So I have to stay real close to the Word, too, right? And I just say, I know I don't have this one. I took the family one time to a church. And we were visiting, and there was some wild stuff going on in this church, okay? So I'm trying to just worship the Lord and, you know, focus on the Lord and not really pay attention to stuff going on around me everywhere. And I talked to the family, and I said, what'd you guys think of the church? And two of the kids and my wife said, that was not good. You know what I mean? That was not of the Lord. There was some bad stuff going on there that was not of the Lord. And I'm like, really? You know, because I'm just having a good time, you know, enjoying the Lord and kind of paying attention to the message and all this stuff. And then they started pointing things out to me. Well, this here, you know, that was not right. And I tried to debate a little bit with them. Said, oh, that wasn't really going on. They said, oh, yeah, that was going on. So, and see, that's cool to me that I know people close to me that have that, okay? So I just cautioned you that if you don't have that gift, then you need to stay close to the Word. And secondly, if you know somebody who has that gift, run things past them again, okay? And ask them, what do you think about this? Because I praise the Lord for that gift. It's pretty cool when you say, what do you think about this? And they go, oh, no, no. You know, it's like, that is not good. So pray for me. I could use that sometimes, you know. But I do, like I said, I got to stay close to the Word. I've got to humble myself and trust what I hear from other folks. Now, if you have someone like this, I just encourage you, listen to what they're telling you, okay? Sometimes they might seem to come across real strong, or they might come across as not having compassion or something, you know, but listen to what's going on, because the Lord might be putting a warning in front of you, okay? Like it tells us, there are many false prophets out there, a lot of false teachers, so you got to be careful. Stick to the Word. You know, if you're like me, you know you don't have this strength in that area, stick close to the Word. Check everything out by the Word of God. All right, just to be careful. Now it goes on, it says to another, this is back in 1 Corinthians 12, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and we're going to see all about that one in chapter 14, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues, and that's tied in with the other gift. Verse 11, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. So who's doing the work? The Spirit is. And He gives them to each one, so every one of us have been given a gift, just as He determines. Okay? So this is God's design to put us together. Now He's going to use an illustration to explain this to us and help us see how this is supposed to work. Verse 12, the body is a unit, one unit, though it is made up of many parts, and all the parts are supposed to work together. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now this is basically telling us, so we're all on the same team. All right? So we don't need competition between the gifts. We need to let them work together. So we're on the same side. By the way, there's a picture there too in verse 13 that says we were all baptized by one Spirit into the body. When you trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit took you and baptized you or submerged you into the body of Christ. And that's a cool spiritual truth to know that you're safe in the Lord. When you trusted Jesus, He took you and He placed you in Jesus and He submerged you. Picture of baptism there. And that's one of the things the Spirit did for us when we got saved. Okay? All right, verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And it's saying that you don't have to have the other person's gift to be part of the body of Christ. Whatever gift God has given you, whatever He has designed you to be, you're okay right where you are. All right? It says in verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, if everybody were just one item, where would the sense of hearing be? We'd lose something if everybody had the same gift. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. So understand this, that God made you the way you are, And he gifted you the way he gifted you because he wants to use you just that way. All right? So in this picture of the body, the Lord has made me a mouth. Okay? That's what part of the body I am. I'm the mouth that's supposed to be letting God's word come forth and his teaching come forth for folks to understand. So whatever part of the body God has made you or me, we serve the Lord by being exactly what he designed us to be. And don't worry about what gifting somebody else has. Don't worry about that. Praise the Lord. Because you know what? We're on the same team. Don't forget. Same team. All right? And this is a message, I think, a little bit to pastors, too, because a lot of times pastors, they think, man, that guy's so gifted, you know. Why can't I be like that guy, you know? When the Lord's saying, no, I want you to be just what I called you to be, where I placed you with the gifting I've given you. You just do what I've given you to do. Okay? So it goes on here. It says in verse 19, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Okay? So everybody has a purpose. Every gift that God has placed in the body of Christ is useful, whatever that gift may be. And every part is important, and it's needed. Okay? So you are needed. Look what it says in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. You know, you think about that little toe. We think, well, the little toe isn't very strong. You can't lift much with the little toe, okay? But that little thing's important, isn't it? We guard that, because if you ever have been walking around at night in the dark in your house and you forget where a table was, that little toe becomes very important to you, doesn't it? Because it hurts when that thing gets damaged. So we protect those parts of our body that are weaker. You know, the body's working together. It's a picture of this. We're not saying, I don't care about that little toe. It can hit whatever it wants. I don't care. Oh, yes, we do. We care very much about that thing because of the pain involved. And the Lord's using this picture of the body of Christ so we would relate well to each other that way. There might be some people whose gifting doesn't mean a lot to us. That gifting is very important, all right? I know, and I don't mean this bad, but I've seen some people in the body of Christ who've been gifted with administration. Well, they don't really have a need for somebody who's got the gift of mercy, you know? The gift of administration says, here's the job, here's how it needs to be done, we need to do it. Period. That's it. And then somebody with a gift of mercy might say, well, wait a minute, if we do it the way you said, we're going to hurt 10 people, you know? And the guy in administration says, we got to get the job done. You know, that's just the way it is. And this is how the gifts are supposed to work together, where the gift of mercy says, no, we can't do that, you know, because you're going to injure too many people by doing it your way. We can still get the job done, but let's think this through, how we can do it without the damage behind, okay? And we need the gifts to work together, and every gift is important. And when they work together, it's cool. It goes on and says, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. Well, our presentable parts need no special treatment. And it's talking again about the body taking care of the body. We clothe ourselves. There's some parts of our body we don't want people to see. Okay, so we cover those. And we use our hands to cover them. That's another part of the body. But there are other parts of our body we don't care if people see most of the time. You know, we've got our hands we use all the time, so they pretty well stay out in the open. You know, not too worried about what people think about them. So he's saying again, the body takes care of the body. And that's what our body of Christ is supposed to be like too. That whatever part God has made us, you're important. All right? No matter what gifting you have, if you think, oh, I wish I had the other gift. Don't worry about it. If God's put a burden on you, you're special and you're unique. You can be used in that gift that others can't be. Not the way you are. And God designed you just that way to be used. So don't think your gift is unimportant. It goes on then. It says, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it so that there should be no division in the body. And there's the point. No division in the body and no division in the body of Christ. You know, we feel sorry for folks who have a physical problem where their body doesn't cooperate. You know, we have diseases we call when the body won't do what you want it to. The brain might say do something and the body doesn't do that. And that's sad. You know, we feel sorry for people in those situations. But the body of Christ is the same way. It shouldn't be that way either. You know, where part of the body is we want to do this and the other part says no, we're doing it this way and stuff, you know. No, there should be unity there. The body should be working together. No division in the body. It says, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. So no gift is unimportant. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And like I said, if that little toe gets hurt, the whole body's hurting in it. I mean, the body's doing something to make it quit hurting because it hurts so bad. So that it does suffer together. And it's the same with us. When one of the body members is hurting, we should be there for the person. All right. And on the other hand, when one of them gets honored, we should say, praise the Lord. That's cool. You know, and like I said, from the pastoral sense, there's a pastor, a man, the Lord's just blessing his ministry. Instead of me saying, oh, I wish I had that, you know, I should say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you blessed him. Because we're on the same team, you know, we're on the same side. Goes on to verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ. And let me say to you all, you are the body of Christ. You're parts of that body. It says, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed. Notice God's setting this up about who's going to be gifted in what area. First of all, apostles. And I do think he's given us an order here to consider. Okay, first of all, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. Then, workers of miracles. And I think if you, by the way, if you get any of these out of order, I think you're out of balance. Okay, because notice what Jesus did. Because it mentions here, you've got teaching and then miracles. Okay, what did Jesus do? You check his life out. Teaching was his primary focus, not miracles. So when I see ministries today that put miracles number one, I believe they're way out of balance. Teaching the Word of God is most important in a world that's full of deception, lies, and the enemy. All right? The miracles may follow, but the teaching has to be there. That's why we're big on teaching. Okay? So it goes on here. You've got apostles, prophets, teaching, workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healings, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. I think Paul intentionally put that gift at the bottom of the list because the church at Corinth had put it at the top of the list. Okay? And he's going to teach him some more about that a little further on. But he says in verse 29, are all apostles? And of course, what would the answer be? No. Are all prophets? Well, no. Are all teachers? Well, no. Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? The answer, of course, is no to all of those. But eagerly desire the greater gifts. So what our hearts should be on are the greater gifts. And he's not going to deal with that yet. We're going to deal with that when we get to chapter 14. And then the last statement he says, and I will show you the most excellent way, or yet I have to show you the most excellent way. And he's going to talk about what the real important thing is. Okay? Now, a couple things for us to consider here. Remember, the gifts are given to us that we might serve the Lord. They're for service. They're not for us to point to ourselves. They're to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're given to encourage and build up and strengthen the body of Christ. That's why I hope we start praying and say, Lord, if I don't know what my gift is, please show me. Because I want to be used. I want our body to just work smoothly, effectively. I want it to shine. I want to see God work. And we have the gifts to do that. You know, God is working gifts in us to be able to do those things. All right? And we'll get a chance to talk about gifts some more, and there's a lot more we could dig into on the gifts themselves. There are other lists that God gives us in different places in the New Testament. This is just one of them, so this isn't all the gifts. If we looked at them today and you said, I don't see mine listed, I don't think I fit in any of those areas, well, don't worry about it, because there are other gifts that God has given us. Like I said, some may not even be listed for us. God does want to work through you supernaturally. He wants you to submit to Him, surrender. He wants to use your life. He's got a real purpose for it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I just thank you for this passage. Lord, this, as you know, this is one of the passages I really enjoy because you open up to us how you want to use us. Lord, I pray for folks today. If someone says, I don't know what my gift is, please help them, Lord. Help them to see it. I pray that you would send people up to them to say, I notice you're good at this. I notice God's working through you this way. We thank you, Lord, that you care about us so much. You sent your Son to die for us, and now you brought us into your service, and we work for you. Lord, I just thank you, and I praise you for what you're doing. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.